really good, you know. Yeah. Probably the hardest piece of technology that we had, that we did, that gave us a lot of trouble, was the color vector graphics technology. Transistors in those days didn't like to switch high voltage, and particularly not at high speed. And so that represented a real problem, and Tempest was a very, I probably played Tempest an awful lot because of that. And so I have, from an engineering standpoint, Tempest is clearly my favorite game. From an actual playing game, I have really so many, and I kind of moved from game to game to game over time. I have an interesting story about one of the early video games called Night Driver. Do you remember that one? And we did Night Driver because, you know, you could play such crappy graphics. We felt that the only way we could really get a good first person going was to just have indications of reflectors in the thing. So it was a pretty effective group, but it was all about doing it because of bad technology. But in testing that over and over and over again, we probably spent a day testing it, which is a euphemism for playing the hell out of the game. And driving home that night, it turns out that I was living at the top of the Hill Road, which is up Kennedy Road, which is kind of a winding canyon road up in back of the status. And all of a sudden, I was playing the same way I was playing Night Driver, you know, putting my little car through four-wheel drifts and things like that. Before I realized that, you know, you can't hit the reset button if you go over the edge on this puppy. So it was one of those things that scared me a little bit. I said, boy, you know, talk about game imitating life and life imitating game. Of course, I think something like that. What? Right now I'm playing Halo, Warcraft 3, I've gotten into, you know, EverQuest and some of the massive RPGs. I guess I still play Go over the internet a lot. I've been playing a lot of small puzzle games because U-Wink, the company I'm currently working on, is building a series of game platforms for public places. We're going really back to the coin on space. We're doing it with a different model in which we link all the coin op games together over a wide area network using the internet. Dial-up or DSL lines, web tournaments, what have you. In fact, how many of you remember Eskimos football? I would love if there's somebody that really knows Eskimos football. It's also a reasonably good program. I'm looking for an Eskimos football product that I want to farm out, in which I want six players. I want six-player Eskimos football. So you have one player doing right end, one doing left end, one doing the quarterback. So you got 3-on-3 in a bar. I think it's great fun. So if you know somebody who wants to do that, let me know. Let's see. Those are about the games I'm playing currently. Oh, no, I play them all, you know, when I'm... You know, get it when I get a hold of them. I still have a lot of fun with Asteroids. Still like Asteroids a lot. I'm actually in this one thing we talked about, Cyberine. We're actually bringing Pong back. We've got a six-player Pong. Using trackballs and things. And it's a lot of fun. We've been beating each other up pretty heavily. And that tends to stand the test of time pretty well because the fun is the people you're playing as much as it is the game. The games, in some ways, are a vessel for human interaction. And that's really what I think games need to be. I was financially screwed up at that point in time, so I couldn't even if I wanted to. I basically did some personal guarantees for a great big line of credit with Merrill Lynch and Ford. I had to screw my finances up. You know, so I'm not living up in Woodside anymore. The nice thing about being an entrepreneur, you can set up a piece and do it all again. And that's really fun for us. Yeah. Yes. In fact, we're doing a lot of that ourselves. You'll see some UN games based on some classics on cell phones probably this fall. Maybe this fall.
Just have time for two more questions, and Mr. Bushnell is coming up and stay afterwards for signatures.
Yeah. Well, I'm real sad that the dominant player, I mean, it really takes massive screw-ups to abandon the dominant player. I saw it happening, and I have to predict it. I made more money shorting Warner's stock during that period than I did when I sold Warner's and sold the car. Somebody needs to actually write a book on all the stupidity that was going on in the car at the time. It was just incredible. I would say that the years 1982, 83, there had to be, people used to talk about us smoking pot in the planning sessions. I think they had nitrous oxide after that. Something. See, somebody had to put it back here. Yeah, car to sell. Remember, we had a 2,400 baud modem in a world in which 150 baud was as fast as it was. We actually had plans to do a internet-type server-based system for gameplay link clear back in the 70s. And we were well on the way of doing that. In fact, if you look in, Atari has a lot of patents on some early modem technology that was just tracked by Warner. Remember, Chuck E. Cheese was started inside Atari, and it was sell it or close it, and I stepped up to buy it. Let's see, what other? There was actually a toy division inside Atari that got closed. There's one other, I can't think what it was. Anyway, yeah, there was a lot of stuff that I thought was very, very important. Special effects generators for television. We were planning to do that. There's one of them right here.
Oh,
that's
funny.
It's a thing where I feel some angst people are putting their foot in front of each other, and the fact that they screwed it up, that's probably Jack is Jack, Jack is a real character, and he has always treated me well. But Jack likes to build things cheap and sell things cheap, and he doesn't like to spend money on the engineering and marketing, and it didn't work.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.